On ESPN Las Vegas, 1100 AM and 100.9 FM, KWWN, Las Vegas. Live from NBA Summer League, it's Cofield and Company.
Curry, way downtown, bang, bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
On ESPN Las Vegas.
Is this the dagger?
Now, here's Steve Cofield and John Von Tobel.
Yep, Von Tobel's in from VSiN. He's the NBA king in this town. It's Cofield. No, you are. What's your title again at VSiN? Aside from host and expert on everything?
Senior NBA betting analyst, I think, or something like that.
Are you over that now? You used to feel like you were boxed in. They'd be like, ah, oh, we're only going to talk NBA with John because that's all he knows.
Oh, no, not anymore. I mean, now, like no, not at
you
all.
You can say it. You carry your show in the afternoon.
Well, I don't carry it, but I will say that
you have to know everything. You always did.
I do. Yeah, and I'm the two, so like the role is kind of like analyst, so I've got to be able to bounce a lot of different stuff. We're in, so we have this contest at VSiN that one of the shows is putting on that is like an MLB futures contest, right, where every show picks a future and, you know, you cash out whatever, but there's some weird rules. But regardless, my show consisted of a producer who was on it for the first day, so I gave him no power, and Tim, who told me, my co-host, he didn't care. So I got to choose our future. Guess who's currently in first place? So,
oh, wow.
That's right. So let's go Astros.
So NBA Summer League today, we got Pacers, Suns. We'll get you an update on that one. We got Knicks and Nets. We'll get to a lot of the Knicks as we open the show. Bronny in the middle of the show, little Team USA, some LeBron, some betting angles with Sammy P. coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. So loaded show tonight. And if you are coming over here for the primetime games tonight, 5 and 5:30, you got Sixers, Wolves, Wiz, Blazers. I assume Donovan Klingon will be playing in that one. I will admit, I may have missed stuff in terms of being shut down. I don't know that they announced guys are shut down.
No, it's impossible. So last year, I was sitting in this arena, the Thomas and Mack, watching, was getting ready to watch Pistons, Raptors. And luckily, that was when I had a credential. And so I'm watching them warm up, and I'm like, oh, hey, I don't see Jaden Ivey or Jalen Duren or James Wiseman or Isaiah Livers. Like, they're not even warming up. Let me go down there and see. And like, yep, they weren't even in the building. They don't announce. They don't announce it. So they had played the first two games, and it was just like, no, we're done. So,
Let's make bets.
Well, and that's so I did fire up and get the Raptors plus 7.5. But, like, awesome. Yeah, dude, like, you don't know. You have no idea. Outside of, like, an injury, like Stephon Castle sprains his wrist, so they announced that he's out for the rest of the summer league. It's a guessing game to see whether or not guys are going to play.
Clippers, which I definitely want to talk Clippers, and Bucks. Bucks with a good signing earlier today. That'll be at 7 o'clock. And then Spurs and Pels. So full day of basketball in the middle of the show, during the show. Hornets, Nuggets, Pistons hosting. Well, playing the Bulls. There's no host. Be a home team, but there's no host. So, like I said, a lot of NBA Summer League. Let me open with some Knicks here. First of all, are they trying to set up this Tyler Kolek kid as the backup point guard?
I mean, they need one. Their backup point guard's not great.
They got real thin last year.
Yes, and they just signed, I believe they just signed Campaign, if I remember correctly. So they're adding some depth there at the backup point guard position. But they absolutely need something because, like you said, they got insanely thin. And while Jalen Brunson's awesome and he's going to be absolutely fantastic, you need somebody to be able to spell him. He can't have these high-minute, high-volume, because while he's great, it just kind of dies down when he goes to the bench. You have no facilitation. You have no shot creation. So Campaign will kind of fill that out for them. But, yes, backup point guard, I would say, along with backup center, is the primary weakness for their roster.
Did you watch Kolek much in college?
A little bit. Not a ton. I'm a little familiar with his game. I would say a good comp for him is probably
– Don't do it. We've outlawed white to white, black to black.
I would say T.J. McConnell.
Dude, don't do it.
You know
that's a great
Matthew Dellavedova probably is a really good
Deli?
One.
He's Deli? Okay. I thought we'd go to old reliable back from my era, which is every
Havlicek.
Six, yeah, right. Havlicek. A little bigger. Not Kuzi. No, Mark Price was always the love. He's 6'1" point guard from the 80s.
Wally Szczerbiak.
And Wally Szczerbiak. You'd have small guys compared to Wally Szczerbiak.
Yeah, all the time.
6'7", 240. Like, he didn't play point. Well, Tyler Kolek actually called people out. He is a little white, but he doesn't want to be known as a little white.
He's not
like,
that
little. Remember the two Dougs?
Yeah.
From Hangover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not that little. He's like 6'3", 6'4", right?
Our Doug is a white.
Yeah.
Well, he simply said, when mentioned in the comparison to T.J. McConnell, who's was playing for the Pacers, big story during the playoffs, and certainly a guy that Knicks writers know. He said of McConnell in the comparison, quote, "I think it's a little lazy." There you go. Finally, a player said it.
Yeah. See, the big difference, too, is, because I wanted to refresh my memory, as Kolek went along in his career, he became a knockdown three-point shooter. T.J. McConnell, like, is afraid of every three-point shot that comes his way. He's like a mid-range specialist and a defensive pest.
This is my favorite thing, especially from NBA writers who've never seen the college player play.
Sure.
That they just go immediately. They cannot. There's no imagination. None.
Trying to think of some good ones now. Steph Curry's probably a good comp.
Oh, yeah. And, like, this close to his level, too. He'll be on Team USA 4 years from now.
You never say never.
So, Jalen Brunson with the Knicks has become a massive favorite for the fan base there. You remember Becky Hammon had criticism for him in terms of his place in the NBA.
Too little.
Pantheon that little guys can't win titles. And then she got a rash of crap and sort of apologized, but then she doubled down on it later on, which is really what she means. She does mean it. That generally, a guard being the best player on your team, a little guard, makes it really hard to win a championship. Well, Brunson was borderline MVP last year. He was awesome. Mm-hmm. He carried them, especially when they got beat to hell. So he had a chance, if he waited 1 year, John, to get $270 million on a five-year deal. What did he do instead?
He gave up about $113 million.
Why would he do that?
Because he wants to give the Knicks a little bit more flexibility. I will say this to the
he's
two.
Very, by the way, he's very tight in the organization.
Yes.
There are relations. I wouldn't trust James Dolan as far as I could throw him, and I don't know what he weighs, but I'm not very strong. I always feel like in the NFL and the NBA, there could always be benefits down the road, like unspoken benefits.
Sure.
So that's a lot to give up, but so he signed a four-year, $156 million extension instead of waiting a year and taking $270, and he is now, if he wasn't a hero already, the people who, you know, follow the Knicks in a hardcore fashion that would know about the salaries, they're over the moon about this guy.
Yes, and you should also know, to your point about, like, relationships, his dad's an assistant. Leon Rose, who runs it, is, like, apparently his godfather. As yeah, as the story goes, like, held him when he was like 5 years old or 4 years old or whatever. So there's
well, how they made the deal in the first place.
Correct.
Right. The Mavs weren't exactly warming up to him on an extension.
Yep.
And the Knicks swooped in there.
And to be fair, too, not only to the point of being able to make more money down the road. Look, he also puts himself in position with the player option. He's going to be able to opt out and get like a massive deal here in about 2 years. So he's going to make a lot of money regardless. But I will say, like, this is what really great players do to put your team in a position to succeed. Tom Brady, I'll put in the air quotes, did it for a while.
He did.
Took pay cuts so that his team could be better prepared and spend some money in different places.
LeBron did it.
Yeah. Now, not that much percentage-wise, but he did it.
Took $4 million less to make sure that separate second apron thing, whatever the hell it is, didn't lock him down.
All $4 million went to Bronny.
That way he did it.
Yeah. 4 years, what was it, 4-6? But, no, I think it is a good thing to see a player be willing to do that. And as much as I hate to say it, because I loathe New York with a strong, strong passion, this is a likable group. And it is led by Jalen Brunson in terms of the likability factor.
I didn't know that was coming, but I do know that it is something that is stuck in your craw, New York and the New York media, and especially the New York fans. So let me see if I can whittle away at this as we open the show here at the NBA Summer League. Another year, right? Been here since the early 2000s. Two games going on simultaneously throughout the day. Game ones are going on right now. Games go all the way through 10:30 tonight. Ian O'Connor, longtime scribe in the New York area on Jalen Brunson. Very few athletes have ever come through New York who, quote, get it, like Jalen Brunson gets it. Here we go. He would have fit in with the 1970 to 73 Knicks as easily as he fits in with today's Knicks.
So stupid. Why do we do that? Who cares about the 70 whatever Knicks? Care about the 2024, 2025 Knicks.
By the way, you can be an expert on something even though you were probably 8 at the time.
Sure.
But I do find that interesting. I don't think Ian is much older than me.
No.
And I was born in 1970, so he's probably talking about a team that he watched when he was 5 to 8 years old. But that doesn't mean he hasn't talked to people and, you know, if he thinks that was an unselfish group. It's a different era, but, you know, that's what people like to do now, and especially writers. You know, back in my day,
right,
the players were like this, not like this.
I mean, well, and that's the other part about it, which is the slight jab at the, you know, it's not like this nowadays. Got to go back to the 70s to find a vibe like this. Like, no, that is not the case.
How many pay cuts or pay raises do you think Ian has turned down over the years?
Sure.
Or agreed to a pay cut?
And by the way,
a little different when, you know, when you're making his money versus, what, 150? So do the quick math, right? Freaking $38 million a year?
Yep.
$39 million,
to use a 30 and a half. A current day example, it was reported widely that Klay Thompson told Steph Curry, please don't go to the front office to try to get me to stay or see what could happen because I want to go. And Steph Curry said, no, I'm going to the front office to beg them to keep you because we want to keep you around and I'll do whatever. And he ultimately still left, but the camaraderie's still there. Guys are still willing to sacrifice for their teammates, yep, to keep things together.
Along those same lines with the Knicks, you did see that James Dolan is complaining about the new TV deals, which are going to haul in, what, a total of $7.6
billion? Yep.
He hates the revenue sharing. Mm. Does he have a case?
I mean, he's the owner of a team that from 2013 to 2020 won less than 40 games.
Sucked every year.
Yeah.
But he's in New York, so you'd almost think he's a horse's ass because it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because he is a horse's ass.
Of course he
is. I mean, the sphere is wonderful here. But to me, I said all those years when you remember all these cases, when free agents wouldn't go to New York, they're like, they're afraid of coming to New York. No, James Dolan has a reputation. No one wants to play for a boss like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why it's softened. I think most of it is softened because middle management is much better than it used to be.
Wait, but has it softened? Who's come? The only players that's come is Jalen Brunson, who's got family ties.
And who just came over from the Nets.
And they traded for Mikal Bridges.
But he said he wanted to come over.
Yeah, right.
To me, that's a
right. But why?
That's a major softening. No one wanted to come.
Right, but why did Mikal Bridges want to go?
You tell me.
Because all of his Villanova teammates were there.
Oh, that's a good point. That was a draw.
Right, you know? It's not like he's like, I want to go play for New York. Because I'm willing to bet if the Charlotte Hornets had all of those Nova guys and they had the exact same season, he'd probably go to Charlotte.
I still will accept it as some positive news for the Knicks that someone from outside the organization wanted to come in.
Yeah, sure.
Now he was playing in the area, so that's another thing, the fear of New York. Was gone.
Doesn't have to move.
So keep going on Dolan complaining about the deal.
Well, I mean, I think it is short-sighted, first off, with how poor your franchise has been for quite a while. So to act like these lesser teams, just because you live in the bigger market, you're only relevant because of that population density. You're not relevant because of what you've done over the last 10 years. You've been awful. But I will also say that there is a fair point in that some of these organizations are very poorly run, and at some point, if your team's like Portland, Charlotte, you've got to ask or get off the pot when it comes to putting together a competent team and roster that is attractive and worthy of getting this revenue sharing, because you are kind of bringing up the bottom. The Pistons, you can throw in that example too. You've been at the bottom for a while now, yep, five-ish years, Pistons even longer, and you have yet to field a competitive team or take advantage of it, and some guys even let go. And so you can't. That's something that just cannot happen.
I have to look it up, but I thought there was a rule in Major League Baseball where competitiveness is taken into account, like a certain length of being pathetic is taken into account in terms of what you get rev sharing. Like, you're not getting rev sharing at the same level if it doesn't appear you're spending money on your team and, more importantly, showing some success. I don't know if the NBA has that. They probably should. And I don't – listen, when Jordan owned the team, I don't know if that was his goal.
Right.
But he was awful. And I was thinking of that the other day. I was watching – the summer league game, I forget who the Hornets were playing, and talking about some of the new players and the improvement, I'm like, my God, they have been terrible for such a long time. What would ever draw a fan to go to a Hornets game? And more importantly, I was thinking of myself. How would you like to be a Hornets beat writer or broadcaster? That is a lot of losing.
I mean, you get
in a league where they've built it so that the mid-level cities and lower-level cities really can compete now because they can keep their players. They have an advantage.
Yep.
And you're seeing all of these cities that are able to keep their guys. They're, you know, they're drafted stars or a young discovery, maybe that wasn't drafted. Keep them for freaking, you know, 8-12 years. Hornets? Ugh.
I mean, you have job security as a beat writer, so that's a positive. Nobody's going to kind of try to take your job.
the competition coming to the market?
Nobody wants it. But I do think there is the NBA does try certain things to keep to force teams to be competitive. They do have to. I wanted to make sure I got the figure right. They're supposed to spend at least 90% of their salary cap on salaries. So it's not like you can try to do it like the A's do all the time, which is barely spend and cut away and take away that money. So you do have to spend. You have to spend on players that forces you to be a little bit more competitive at times. But you also have to make the right decisions as an organization. And these teams like Charlotte, like Detroit, now evolving into Portland because they got rid of Damian Lillard. I mean, we can go down. Washington for the longest time has been absolutely nothing. Chicago has been happy with putting together a team that has no real shot to win a championship but has a real shot to make the playoffs because you just want the playoff gate. You don't really care about competing for a title. Like, those are the teams that need to make changes. And finally, Chicago, I mean, it flipped and they had to do it. So now they're going to tank and try to get better. But those are the teams that I think Dolan, to be fair, is talking about.
A very long-range view of the NBA is to, and I think these are casuals who come in towards the end of the season, or they even talk about it before the season about who can win titles. And I've been around people, all they do is count up, and Herd will do this sometimes. Mm-hmm. They'll count up the stars on the team.
Right.
And they'll be like, they have, you know, three top 75 players. This team has one. Three is better than one. Is that the case with the Sixers and the Knicks? You know, building on what we're talking about here with the Knicks to the Eastern Conference and that division, Mark Spears was talking about Paul George, Maxey, and Embiid. Hey, the Sixers, I'll take them over Jalen Brunson. And that's it, Jalen Brunson and the Knicks. Are the Sixers better than the Knicks because they have three name guys versus one name guy for New York?
I think they're better, but I don't think it's because of that. I think it's because their guys fit perfectly. It's like a nice puzzle. You have lead guard in Tyrese Maxey. You've got elite wing player, two-way guy in Paul George. And then you've got dominant center in Joel Embiid. Those are three guys who really should fit very well with one another. Now, the caveat is, I say that in the sense of best of seven on a neutral, they're going to play each other. Are they going to be healthy?
Yes.
That's like the other big thing.
I feel like Paul George just moved to the Clippers East.
Yeah. I mean,
like every quarter of the season and the playoffs, all bets are off if Embiid and Paul George are on the floor together. Might be a case where neither one is available.
And to be fair for Paul George, two things. One, he did just come off of a year in which he played over 70 games for the Clippers. It was his most in a jersey, but still, he did it. And his injury history in the past for the Clippers has been kind of freakish, like Lou Dort going up for rebound and then falling into his knee and hyperextending it. Things like that where it has not really worked well for him. For Joel Embiid and for like his old teammate Kawhi Leonard, we're talking about nagging injuries, consistent injuries, knee, back. Those things have been there for both of those guys, and you wonder if they are going to be whole once they get to the postseason. But if you're telling me everybody's on the floor, I do think there's a small edge for Philly just because of the way they fit.
UNLVtickets.com is where you get your tickets for the NBA Summer League, up to 8 games every day. They start early in the day, 1:30, go until the evening. There's a slew of games tonight on this Tuesday. We'll be here Tuesday and Wednesday. Come join us, UNLVtickets.com at the NBA Summer League.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from NBA Summer League on ESPN Las Vegas.
Don't forget, folks, Summer of Fun is back. It's brought to you by Planet Nissan, ESPN Las Vegas. And Planet Nissan, 8 trips in 8 weeks. We're halfway through the giveaways of the trips. The trip this week is a 7-night cruise to Mexico. Stops in Ensenada, Cabo, Mazatlan, spending cash. Uh-huh. And then all you got to do, John Von Tobel, is you can't do it. Send in the code word of the day, 702-364-1100. As easy as that, you send in a code word to our text line, 702-364-1100. Today's code word is relax. Relax, which is a tone that we have throughout Cofield and Company. It comes up often. Relax. 702-364-1100. More trips on the way. This week's trip is a cruise to Mexico, brought to you by Planet Nissan and ESPN Las Vegas. Home run derby last night. We could have followed it during the 5 o'clock hour on Cofield and Company. And by the way, all the baseball stuff this week is over on our sister station. So if you want to listen to baseball on the radio, which I love, I don't know about Home Run Derby on the radio, but you can listen to Raider Nation Radio 920. So 4 o'clock today for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which I'm kind of interested in. We'll get to the Home Run Derby because really something else became the bigger story than the Derby itself. One, I don't even know where you are with baseball anymore. I know you're making picks every day over on VSiN, and JVT's with us. Are you into the Skeen story, especially with the addendum of Livy Dunn, or are you done already?
Oh, I don't care about the Livy Dunn thing. I do. Yes, I am in on Paul Skeens quite a bit here. I do have a rookie of the year ticket on him at 30-1. So yeah, I'm very, very in on Paul.
Did you see one of the betting slip services that will buy a betting slip?
Okay.
Skeens, Cy Young.
Okay.
He's got a shot. I mean, you have to win like every freaking game
and not get shut down.
And the Pirates have to make the playoffs. And you're right, not get shut down. But I think the guy has about 85 Ks right now, maybe 89.
Okay.
The only reason I know that is he's on one of my fantasy teams. But second half, and we're more than through, halfway of the season. But, I mean, if he finishes with like 170 Ks and it's like 130 innings.
Sure.
Has almost no losses, ERA around 2, he's got a shot.
Oh, yeah.
Someone had a 200-1 ticket on Cy Young for $75, sold it for $1,200.
Good for them.
You think?
I mean,
you wouldn't have played it out a little longer?
I've very much conformed to the mindset of, like, if I'm betting it, I'm playing it, and I'm not going to hedge, and we're just riding this thing.
I mean, isn't the hedge betting, like, the next three guys for a little bit?
I mean, but there's no
next,
but
the true, guys who are, I'm sorry, the guys sure. who are highest in the order?
Yeah, but there's no true outcome there, right? Because there is a chance in which neither one, none of the
fourth, fifth, or sixth person could do it.
Or if, like, God forbid one of them gets traded out, because you're seeing that in the American League, right? What if Tarik Skubal gets traded out of the American League? Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, crap, this sucks. Now I'm done. But there's no true hedge outside of somebody posting a, like, for MVP, you have Shohei versus the field, you have Aaron Judge versus the field. So two true outcomes there, bet the other side.
Right.
There's no true way to do it. But I'm in on Skeens. He's been awesome. I think he's got a shot. I think it's going to be tough. The thing that works for him, too, is not only how good he's been. The NL Cy Young race is kind of falling apart to injury. So right now it seems like there's just three guys. It's just Wheeler and it's just Chris Sale, and that would be about it. And one of the two dudes has a pretty long injury history in Chris Sale where he could fall off at any moment. So he's got a shot by elimination. It might just be there by himself.
Skeens in the All-Star game getting the start.
So
never happens with rookies. And there's a story out there that Bobby Manfred was going to step in potentially and tell him Skeens is starting, not Chris Sale. Let's go.
Chris Sale should have never even sniffed or been considered to start this game.
Why?
Not a second. Steve, you know how I am about baseball. I enjoy the sport, but it is old, it is out of touch, and it is boring. While we are here on the air, because I think it starts at, 5:30 our time, 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
I will be throwing my phone up for the game just to watch the first inning because I want to see Paul Skeens. There is no way he does not start this game. He's must-watch television. He is arguably, right now, would you say he's their biggest star? Shohei Ohtani's there, and Aaron Judge has got New York. But if you tie in the, we'll call it Taylor Swift effect of Livy Dunn, who her fan base probably knows who he is because of who she is, and how dominant he's been in baseball, to watch him face off against the top of the AL order, potentially Aaron Judge as well because he's batting fourth, that's must-watch television.
I think your question about biggest star, aside from like three people, is super valid question.
He might be. It also tells you where baseball is.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And that when he came up and then he's got Livy Dunn on his arm, you better take advantage of this guy. Take advantage of someone, please. Baseball.
Yes. I mean, you've kind of let Ohtani. I mean, even in LA, he feels like he's just like this quiet, nondescript star that's just out there. You don't really see him. Obviously, Mike Trout, his injuries or his injuries have caused his career to kind of fall apart here. He's out of the limelight. I mean, Judge is fine, but he's, again, you just kind of let him sit there in New York and just hit bombs, and that's about it.
To your point about LA, bigger star in all of sports, Mookie Betts or Tommy Cutlets?
Tommy DeVito.
For like 3 months.
I mean,
was he a bigger star than Mookie Betts?
Peak Tommy DeVito, he was the bigger star. Peak Tommy DeVito. I don't think there's any question. Now?
It's lunacy.
No. But peak? Absolutely. There's no question about it.
Wait, what happened? What do you mean? What do you mean?
No.
He's looming.
He's not looming.
He's looming.
He's brooding in a corner somewhere.
He got his 15 minutes of fame?
Yes. If that. He is now, he's what's her name? The Hawk Tua chick? You know, she got her 15 minutes, rose to stardom, and now she's out.
Bigger star, Hawk Tua chick, or Tommy Cutlets? I say Tommy Cutlets.
Tommy Cutlets. Because I still don't remember Hawk Tua chick's name.
Are you sure Hawk Tua is done?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, she's done.
She already did at least one appearance for like 30 grand.
That's it. I mean, it's like one joke. It's great, but, you know, you're a normal person. Nobody cares.
She's going to be a staple at SEC football games. I know she's Tennessee, but.
Is she? Yeah. I mean, I think I read something. I never trust the internet. I did read something that she's like, she knows her star time is up, and so now she just wants to, like, use her remaining stardom to, like, help out animal shelters or something. I saw
a
video
of
her doing
that. That's true. Yeah, that's nice.
I mean, I was actually very refreshed because usually they just try to become piece of garbage influencers and flame out. So that's if that's true, that's awesome. But I do think, going back to the point, I think Skeens is their biggest star right now, and you start your game with him.
I bag on baseball. Baseball is a regional sport. It's a city, it's a, you know, specific city sport. I like baseball, and I follow it. And
I enjoy it.
But I do realize kind of where it is, and we'll get to the Home Run Derby in just a couple seconds because something happened at the Home Run Derby that everyone got all fired up about. Giveaway time. A couple Saturdays from now, Monster Jam 6 is in town. Thomas and Mac, two tickets, Monster Jam, the big trucks, 364-1100, 364-1100, caller 7. Gravedigger. This is like 19th generation Gravedigger. And other trucks are there and freestyle and skills and racing competition. You get your tickets at UNLVtickets.com. Caller 7 right now, 364-1100.
Oh, Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love in all of us command.
Now, back to the Thomas and Mack with Cofield and Company. Live at the NBA Summer League.
Lovely rendition. Alanis Morissette. Stanley Cup playoffs. That was on the road. I was mad that day. Not at Alanis Morissette. She did a very good O Canada. But I was mad for fans. How dare you let, one, the Canadian fans, the Oilers fans, invade your building and then out-sing you from an accuracy and a volume standpoint, embarrassing.
I mean, I would just deny them the Canadian national anthem.
I know, right?
Don't sing it in my building. Get out of here.
How do you? It's your home game. How do you not boo and drown out the Canada fans
the entire time?
Yep.
Screw your country.
Yes.
We're taking this cup.
I don't know why are we being civil anymore? All civility's out the window. Sports is the great unifier, as unbelievable orator Harrison Butker would say.
Yeah, it's stupid. Just like sportsmanship, it's overrated.
Yes.
We're here to win.
Yes.
Like, no matter what I'm cheering for, I want to win. I want you to lose. I want you to feel pain. I have felt pain. I don't want to feel it.
You get sassy over the handshake line. My hands are here to hold the trophy.
Right. It's the dumbest thing ever.
So,
boo them.
Alanis Morissette did a pretty good job on the Canadian national anthem. Got the crowd all fired up. I refuse to allow our vast sound crew to pull whatever that was last night at Major League Baseball's Home Run Derby.
Why?
Because you're just doing what everyone else did. She sucked. And now, as it turns out, she was hammered?
Yeah, apparently the wonderful singer who last night cranked out an anthem to remember Ingrid Andress, I believe is how you pronounce her last name.
I mean, you can give her that. I won't even mention her name. This is all
here's the thing. No, here's the
is
thing.
She really a drinker or not? Or is she falling on the rehab card?
This is why I think you should play it, because she sucked. She was awful. She was hammered. She puts out a statement. This is the statement. But it was just a text on a black screen Instagram statement. I'm not going to BS y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get help I need. This was not me last night. I apologize to Major League Baseball, all the fans, and this country I love so much. Yada, yada, yada. I'll let y'all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun.
Wait a second.
XO Ingrid.
That doesn't sound very serious.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound since you're going on some retreat. You're a lush. You need to get out of here. You need to take this seriously. You desecrated our anthem. You were drunk. And now you're like, cool, it sounds like fun. Play it 1,000 times. Shame her forever. That was terrible.
Shame her forever.
That was terrible.
Are you really this mad?
I mean, the post. I wasn't that mad until I read the post. The last note sounds like fun. Yeah, I wish I could drop everything and just go to a luxury rehab and get treated for all my problems. Sounds great. Emmy-nominated artist who showed up drunk yesterday in Arlington to sing the national anthem. Screw her. Play it 1,000 times. Laugh at her. Alec Bohm, you should have laughed. There was no need. You didn't see the camera? Oh, it was on Bohm. He was trying not to laugh. It was a Draymond Green Fergie episode all over again.
No, when you mentioned Bohm, that reminded me of something. You have seen that there is a female broadcaster, and we've seen this happen here and there, who has now potentially latched onto a professional male athlete.
Oh, no.
It's actually from Real World. I think you might have worked with her. I know in the past you always spoke highly of Aaron Kate Dolan.
Okay.
Apparently she's dating this Phillies third baseman.
Alec Bohm?
Yes.
Okay.
Just random knowledge that old man has.
For the record, I
see these things. It could be a scurrilous rumor.
I will. I'll say for the record, I didn't really enjoy working with Aaron Kate Dolan. I actually didn't really work with her that much.
No,
we just did hits.
Trying to be classy, but
I'm going to be honest.
Muddy up the situation.
Unlike some people out there who show up drunk and sing the anthem and then think it's all la di da and hilarious, I will be true. It's not that I don't like her. I also didn't really know enough about her to like her, but good for her. Alec Bohm, you should have laughed. Should have laughed in her face. She thought it was a joke singing the national anthem. How dare she, quite honestly. And in this political climate?
You can't jack it up.
Nope. Not nowadays. I've seen people beat up for less.
This woman was white and she's not fat, right?
No.
She'll be okay.
She was relatively attractive.
She's not Roseanne, so...
I heard Roseanne
came to her, had her back, which I still think the Roseanne thing was a work. I think everything's a freaking wrestling work now. I think we're being dragged in.
So you think she's like, a bit. I mean, she could be lying, yeah.
I mean, I believe really that she probably was hammered. I have no idea if she has a drinking problem, but like you said, going to rehab, I'll tell you what it's like, sounds like fun. That doesn't sound like your life is on the brink.
No. It sounds terrible. Like, it's just... rehab is a very serious opinion, like a very serious thing to do. If you really have a problem, like what happened last night that you were just like, well, this is it. I mean, I'm embarrassed. I got to go do this. I got to take care of myself. Oh, but by the way, it sounds fun. It sounds like fun. It's great. Looked it up. 5-star resort. Okay. Meanwhile, there's some other people who are really struggling trying to find help. Like, this isn't fun. This is terrible. This experience is awful. I'm going through withdrawals. I'm really addicted to this stuff. I need to turn my life around. And you're like, oh, well, let's go on a trip.
More social media engagement.
I mean, that's what it's about. I've never heard of
this. Everything has to be about that.
That's the meaning
back
of life.
Back in my... Stop. We're not doing that. NBA Summer League here on a Tuesday. We'll get you updated on Indy and the Suns and Knicks and Nets. We got another round of games coming up here. But on the back, we got to get to this week's set of college football media days. We'll talk a little bit about Nick Saban talking about the schedule in the SEC being so tough, and then that Southern Sports Talk Show host, the Paul guy, he was going off yesterday on Deion in Colorado. Talk about a work and talk about succumbing to a work.
Now, back to the Thomas and Mack with Cofield and Company.
So that's why we're talking to you. We're not talking to you because you're a noted talk show host or a famous writer. I'd never heard your name until today. I just wanted to get your rationale, and I'm still waiting to hear it.
Well, I've given it to you. You just don't agree with it.
Now, back to the Thomas and Mack with Cofield and Company, live at the NBA Summer League.
Going into the vault for that one. That was regional. Radio star in the South, Paul Finebaum, getting all pissy with Soren Petro.
That's right.
In Kansas City, because Finebaum wanted to have someone on, because Finebaum was outraged, or his audience was outraged. Listen, it's all a bit.
What was the topic again?
Alabama didn't get the number one vote in whatever, some preseason poll, and Petro had voted for Clemson or something. And then Finebaum brought him on, and Petro did what Petro does, which is he's going to be argumentative. And then Finebaum got all mad and was like, I don't know who you are, and you're not really a talk show host of any note. Like, okay, Paul.
And by the way, just scream, okay, I lost the debate because I have no intelligent rebuttal, so I'm just going to try to belittle you instead.
When you get backed into a corner, what do you do?
Yeah. Lash out.
Start taking shots, personal shots. So speaking of Paul Feinbaum.
Surrender this head. At least I have hair. Could have gotten real ugly.
He does have good hair. You think Feinbaum cares about his hair anymore?
I mean, clearly
I think it's long gone. I mean,
you got to go. I would go full bald, but yeah.
Well, let's talk about relevance, right? Because Petro, as he said, is of no note. I'm kidding. He did say that, though. But in terms of relevance, it was interesting. Feinbaum's on ESPN. He's reporting from SEC Media Days, and they get to the Colorado story. Before we do any of this, last week what Dion and Shador in Colorado did here in town at Big 12 Media Day, and what I mean by did was a lot of pomp and circumstance, a lot of bombastic statements, Shador saying, hey, we're everyone's Super Bowl. Dion talking about teams he'd like to see Shador go to. He and Hunter could be the number one and two pick. Dion talking about being measured by a different standard, which, by the way, he set.
Right.
What'd you think of all that? Because I got caught up in that. I'm like, this is great sports fan and great sports talk radio fodder, but is this just a bit? Like, it's just what they do, and don't get so super involved.
No, I mean, I think that's really the ultimate truth. Like, they know that whatever they say now is it's pretty loaded and it's going to get picked up and people are going to talk about it, and especially this time of year when there's not that much going on and you can make headlines relatively easily. You know, when Big 12 Media Day came this last week, I was actually excited. The way I phrased it was, you know, Dion's been quiet. We haven't heard from him in a while. You know, he's always been talking or whatever, but he haven't really heard from him, yes. So it's going to be a pretty good moment.
Well, he wasn't working much during the summer.
Correct, right.
Which is going to play out on the field. You're going to find out.
Yeah. He has recruiting director, his sons. But, no, I think that's what he wants. He wants reaction. He wants publicity. But I also think, to your point, there were some things that were fine. There were some things that were unfair. The standard you set yourself when it comes to the judgment of how you're winning and losing. By the way, you only won four games last year, or five. The other part is, like, a lot of people tried to glom on to how he said that Travis Hunter and his son would be 1-2 in the draft. Like, yeah, that's a coach giving his players confidence. What would you rather have said, whoa, pump the brakes.
For all of them, there is no better time than right now to be bombastic. You're building a brand. And mm-hmm. Dion already has one, but Dion can get direct money out of it, his insurance commercial and everything else he does. But the kid's never got money before. Now, if Shador says something that seems just that's ridiculous, does it matter? I mean, maybe teams will have a tick more motivation to take him down, but they are what they are.
Yes, and he might be right. Shador Sanders might be the first overall pick or the first quarterback taken in this draft. He's a pretty good quarterback, so there is some truth to what he's saying. Travis Hunter is a pretty good player, so there is some truth to what he's saying about them being first-round picks, maybe not first and second, which he immediately walked back, by the way, when he said, hey, you know, depending on team need at the top of the draft. But, no, I don't think you read too much into it because ultimately some of it is just a bit, and it's what Dion wants to do to try to build the brand, as you said, and to get his program more familiar with people around the country.
Here's Feinbaum talking about Colorado and all the chatter around the Buffs making the playoffs.
Anyone asking whether Deion Sanders and Colorado are close to the playoffs simply doesn't understand the reality of the road. They're not going to the playoffs this year. Deion Sanders is the best salesman I've ever seen. I personally love the guy and for what he stands for. But the program looking out has a ridiculously inflated view of itself. I heard Shador Sanders, who's a fabulous quarterback, say last week, we are everyone's Super Bowl. Shador, you are not. You are an easy win nowadays.
Here, hold on. Let me take my fishing rod. Pull in Paul Feinbaum. He took the bait.
Yep.
But we've all addressed it. We've all addressed it. So it was a little appetizer. Why not?
It's also Feinbaum very much in his, like, SEC, we're the best. You're not the Super Bowl. Every SEC game is a Super Bowl for everybody else. Couldn't imagine another team from another conference actually having that.
Here's more Feinbaum.
I know that the media loves this story. We fall all over ourselves. But Colorado isn't important in college football. Deion Sanders is. He's a standalone person. He's one of the most charismatic people we've ever seen. But Colorado is nothing. They don't matter. They're irrelevant in the big picture of college football.
I don't think they're irrelevant. Let me say it correctly. I don't think they're irrelevant
mm-hmm.
in the playoffs, on the field. They're relevant from an attention-grabbing and talking standpoint. So while Paul Feinbaum is talking about the rest of the media falling over themselves, you're doing it too. But they are relevant. Now, here's the thing. On Shador's where everyone's Super Bowl, I think they're going to start out the season 0-7, best 2-5. If they're sitting at 2-5, they're not very relevant at that point. Now it's just, you know, let's go out and pound them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll just mention real quickly, this is a misnomer I've heard repeatedly. I don't get what people are saying. Feinbaum's like, well, they're never going to get to the playoffs with Deion because he's going to lose his patience. He'll be going somewhere else. Where's he going? So if he posts back-to-back 4-8 seasons, who's grabbing him? Where's his landing spot?
Yeah.
Where's he going to coach? He's going to coach in the NFL as a head coach after that?
No, I don't think that's the case. I would say I do think you're a little low on them. I think 0-7 is pretty strong given their schedule and the winnable opportunities there. Colorado State's a winnable game. They're favored. They should win it. Sign me up for Colorado State in that game. When you talk about the point spread,
UCF, North Dakota State, obviously the opener, yeah. They're 8-point favorites.
Tough there though, and UCF is going to be tough on the road. But UCF's defense stinks on the road against Arizona. K-State is a team that many people think, and they are the second in the odds. Many people think that Avery Johnson could win a Heisman, and that team could be a playoff squad. So I understand the toughness of their schedule. I would say though, to the point of relevance, you go back to that first week. Over 7 million people watched that game against TCU, and they are relevant. When you fall into the trap, you're admitting their relevance when you respond to them. If they weren't relevant, then you wouldn't respond. You wouldn't say anything.
So on conference realignment, you saw the note last week, by the way, that Colorado was pitched an extra $2.5 million over Utah, Arizona State, and Arizona
signing
to join
bonus.
The Big 12.
Yeah.
We had Arash was on, Arash Markazi, and Arash was laughing. He's like, yeah, they got robbed. They were worth more than $2.5 million with the TV audience they brought. So with the Big 12 here, your Mac, the commissioner there, takes the first shot, and you know it's put out, leaked out, not by him, but leaked out. Hey, Clemson and Florida State, Big 12 wants them. Sankey shows up to SEC Media Day. They want to ask him about, you know, hey, the Big 12 trying to get him. You want him? He's like, I'm not a recruiter. So now I think this one's interesting. The latest one is from Brett McMurphy. Big 10 SEC unlikely to add Florida State if it leaves the ACC and ACC survives. Source told his company. Big Ten and SEC don't want FSU because adding Florida State doesn't make financial sense, no desire to expand, and, quotes, they've been a disruptive partner. That's kind of interesting. Like, you know, if you've been a pain in the ass in the conference you're in, no thanks.
Yeah. Hey, we signed this deal that was like 10 years. Oh, wait, no, we don't like this. We want to get out. Let's do everything possible that we can do to get out of this.
Well, how about not only the school, but how about Riverboat Ron, the governor of Florida, then threatening to sue whatever it used to be called, the BC College, whatever it was, college playoff. Like, sometimes you got to play nice in the big picture, Florida State.
Even if the Big 12 adds Clemson and Florida State, it's still going to be a conference that gets less money. Having said that, you as programs get pretty much clear paths to a regular college football playoff berth when you win that thing.